I'd like to read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Isaiah, chapter 53. Verse number 1. Isaiah, chapter 53, and verse number 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The second reading of the Gospel of John, chapter 5. John's Gospel, chapter 5. Verse number 24. Gospel of John, chapter 5, and verse number 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Same book, chapter 9, John's Gospel, chapter 9, and verse number 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Finally, 1 John chapter 5, at the end of our Bibles, 1 John chapter 5. And verse number 9. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I trust God will bless what we've been hearing, along with what we have read from his word tonight. I'd like to ask you a very simple and yet a very pivotal question tonight. Question that has far-reaching consequences. And the question is this. Do you believe God? Well, I can almost hear people saying tonight, of course we do. Everybody believes that there's a God. That wasn't the question. Is there a God? Yes. And I'm thankful as I look at this audience that I'm sure that almost 100% believe that there is a God. In fact, the demons believe and tremble. But that wasn't the question. Do you believe God? Because you see, your answer to that question will have eternal consequences. When a man believes God, he will be brought into the greatest of all blessings. He bows to what God says. He rests on what he has told us. He's not trying to figure it out. He has simply taken what God has said as being absolutely true, and he rests where God rests. But there are those tonight, and though you're sitting at a gospel meeting with an open Bible, you have never believed God. You have never accepted what he has said about you. And you have never accepted what he has said about his Son. And you have never truly accepted what he tells you concerning your eternal future. You're still living, could I say, a dream? And even having heard these solemn words, no hope. There are people that come to gospel meetings and gospel series, and they have never bowed to God's estimation of them. They are always hoping that somewhere down the line, something will happen and salvation will just click in, and they just keep on going. They have never believed God. In fact, the Bible just puts it this way. Men and women and young people in their sins are unbelievers. They might be moral, they might be righteous as far as the world is concerned, church members, good citizens, wonderful mothers, respectable fathers, teenagers, but unbelievers as far as God is concerned. And the tragedy tonight is that many times we have no trouble believing man, and we have terrible difficulty believing God. I can recall a few years ago, the Evening Telegram, which was the big daily paper in the city of St. John's, had a very large ad, and it was the news of a closing. A building supply had gone bankrupt. The folk that were there to dispose of the assets were putting everything on sale, and the sale was going to start Saturday morning at 8 a.m. And they had a list of all the things that were going to be on sale there, and I just happened to be building a house at the time, and so I read this ad. And you know, all I read that day was just so much black ink on some very cheap newsprint. And it was there in letters that I could understand, but that's all it was, just a little bit of ink on a little bit of newsprint. And it was put in the right form and in letters and numbers that I could understand. You know what? I had no trouble believing that. And I got down there 8:15, I thought I'd be early. And I discovered that there were about 300 people, and I'm not exaggerating, lined up down the road, around the corner, across the street, down by the fence. They were all waiting for those gates to be opened, because the deals that day were incredible. Tell me, why did I get into my car at 8:15 or before that time and go down to where that address had been given? I had no trouble believing the message that I read on that cheap newsprint that day. And it was true. Or you're planning an outing, and you turn into the weather station, whether you watch it or listen to it, whatever the case is, and as you hear this man's voice telling about rain coming, or storms coming, or high winds coming, suddenly, based on a man's voice that you've never seen, hearing about a weather pattern that is not even here yet, you call around and you say, well, we better change the date because it's not going to work out. Did you hear the forecast? And you actually believe a man's voice concerning an event that is down the road, and you govern yourselves accordingly. Why do we have no trouble most of the time believing somebody, a fellow human being that we have never seen? Because sometimes they don't always tell the full truth, do they? And when it comes to the God of heaven, who cannot lie, who always tells the truth, who delivers on every single promise, when it comes to the God of salvation and the God that we are accountable to, we stand back and we say, well, I can't believe him. Can't see him. Don't know whether what he's saying is true. And we stay unbelievers. Very tragic to follow the course of man's unbelief. Starts in Genesis chapter 3. Where our first parents
They knew the truth. They had dealings with God. They knew that what He said could be counted on. And yet there came a moment when willfully in disobedience, they turned away from God, believing another record, believing another suggestion. And they turned from the God of truth, and they plunged themselves and the entire human race into darkness. And ever since then, men and women have been walking with the reason of their own intellect as their sole guide, and they have failed to believe God. And yet God continued to speak. And God sent prophets. And God sent messengers. And God sent written messages. Last of all, God sent His Son. One of the names of the Lord Jesus is the Word. And tonight, we have been using words and are using words to convey unseen thoughts. We can't see God with these eyes tonight, but He has expressed Himself in a way that we can understand. And the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and actually dwelt among us. And suddenly, the fullness of all that God is was seen in a person, the very Son of God, the mighty Creator. The Word became flesh. And He began to talk to us. And He began to work in our midst. And He did mighty miracles. And He told that there would come a day when He would lay down His life. And He would take that life again. And He told how men would nail Him to a cross. And how He would have to suffer. And how He would rise again from the dead. And people hearing that voice, seeing that person, experiencing His mighty power. He says, we can't believe Him. He's a deceiver. He's a blasphemer. Away with Him. And the greatest messenger from God, the very Son of God Himself, was despised and rejected. Amen. They wouldn't believe God. And they wouldn't receive God's Son as Savior. And yet God didn't stop there. Oh, the grace of God. Oh, the kindness of God. He didn't stop there when a world crucified the Lord Jesus. When they spat in His face. When they nailed Him to a cross. When they actually murdered Him. The God of salvation caused a book to be written. A record. A book that we hold in our hands tonight. Not a newspaper. This is the greatest volume that has ever been brought into this world. The full revelation of God is what we hold in our hands. And tonight, Isaiah could write concerning a nation, and I believe concerning this meeting, who hath believed this report? We believe man. We don't believe God. And 1 John 5 tells us that a person who does not believe the report has called God a liar because he has not received what God has told us. Tell me, what has God told us? God has brought His x-ray of our condition into view. And everyone here tonight is going to have to make an evaluation whether that x-ray is true or not. We were having meetings in Toronto 3 years ago, Mr. Oliver and myself. There was a young married woman that was coming to those meetings. Her husband had just been saved. And suddenly Jackie, who was just kind of on the sidelines for many years, her husband had been raised in a Christian home, but had been drifting. He married this lovely girl who really had no background of the gospel. had hardly read the Bible, and Jackie came and went to the meetings. I spoke to her in 1987 on one of my first trips to Toronto, and Jackie came, but didn't amount to that much as far as her interest was concerned. But suddenly, in 1996, her husband was saved by the grace of God, and suddenly Jackie was face to face with her need. And there began a struggle. And she says, how am I going to know whether what this book says is true? I said, Jackie, if you go to a doctor and he takes an x-ray and he calls you into the office at a later date, maybe a couple of weeks later, I said, you really only have two choices when he calls you in. He has the x-ray on his table, perhaps on the screen. Perhaps he'll be able to show you exactly what the problem is inside. You can't see it, but there it is. There's the picture. And I said, Jackie, you'll either have to believe what the doctor says, even though it doesn't seem right, or you'll have to walk away, making your own estimation and your own evaluation. But I said, it'll make all the difference whether you believe the doctor or not. Now, I know doctors are sometimes wrong, but you dare not avoid what God says about your condition. God has the x-ray firmly in view. We're not left in the dark. And God's sin has come in and has separated us from God. That's what the x-ray says. God looks at our very nature and he says we are ungodly. That's what God says. There are those tonight and they're saying, I'm not that bad. Go preach to somebody else. We don't need it here. And God looks at all of us, starting with a preacher, and he says, your hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked, ungodly. God says we are without hope in ourselves. And you're saying tonight, no, I don't believe that. I'm going to keep trying. God says we are in our sins. We've never come to Christ. And this x-ray is not very flattering. This x-ray is bad news. But oh, for those who will believe what God says, they are awakened to understand, I need a Savior. I need a Deliverer. I need someone to bring a remedy to this terrible condition. Do you believe God tonight? How about believing God concerning what's coming, your future? 87 years and 1 month ago, there was a large ship and has caught the attention of the world in recent days. The Titanic was coming across on its maiden voyage. You know this story well, don't you? The big ship never made New York. It went down on its maiden voyage. Tell me, what was the tragedy of the Titanic? Why has it captivated the world's attention? The tragedy of that ship is not that it went down. All kinds of ships go down. The tragedy of that ship is the fact that that ship went down after, was it 20 hours of warnings with its band playing? With its passengers dancing and nobody caring that there was ice ahead. What was the problem of that ship and its course and its captain and its passengers? They didn't believe the warning concerning what was up ahead. It'll never touch us. We don't have to slow down. We don't have to weigh anchor. We don't have to steer a clear pathway around that ice. We are invincible. It'll never happen to us. And tonight, just like the Titanic, there's souls in this meeting, and you're plowing ahead down the road of life, and you have never believed what God says concerning your future. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. God says the soul that sinneth, it shall die.
And solemnly he said to his own people, and he says to you tonight, if ye die in your sins, where I am ye cannot come. And oh, to think that you are only just one breath away from that reality. Every day you live, you're taking another chance. Every hour you pass outside of Christ is 1 hour closer to the eternal burnings. And yet here you are, you come and go like a door on its hinges, because you have never believed God. If you believe God with regard to the right approach to Him, we're living in a world that is trying to do something to merit God's salvation, to merit favor with God. You can go around this world tonight and you will find all kinds of attempts to please God. Some say prayers. Some give large sums of money. Some try and live their life and purge themselves from bad habits. Some try and live in such a way that they're pleasing their neighbor. And they're kind people. But you have never bowed to what God says, because salvation does not come by our works, by our good living. If it could come by our good living, friend, a number of things would be in view. If we could get to heaven by what we do, why did the Lord Jesus have to die on the cross in agony and shame? And if we could get to heaven by what we do, tell me, how much do we have to do to get to heaven? And if we could get there by own good works, I don't think heaven would be a very desirable place. He's filled with boasters. You see what I did? I lived a pretty good life. I'm sure you haven't measured up to me. Well, now, wait a minute. Did you see what I did? I did this. And heaven would be filled with those who are full of themselves. I'm thankful that the wondrous heaven that I have been invited to go to and that I'm going to tonight is going to be filled with sinners who have no hope. And in their desperation and in their hopelessness, they looked away to Christ. And they believed that what He had done for them at the cross was for sinners and therefore for them. And heaven will be filled with sinners saved by grace that will sing eternally of the worth of our Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. We will sing that for the eternal ages. Because you see, the very focal point of heaven is not the golden streets. It's the wondrous person of the Lord Jesus. We will sing unto Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Do you believe God with regard to your need tonight? You have sins upon your soul, and you are heading out into eternity with sins upon your soul. And yet this wonderful book that is absolutely true, this record that we can depend upon because it comes from heaven, it's personal. God has spoken to us in language that we can't understand tonight. Reminds me of a firm that was manufacturing a certain type of machinery, computerized machinery. And it was sent overseas. And it was installed and it began to work, and after a number of months it broke down, and so they called back to the company here in the States and they said, please send a repairman over to fix this thing again. And so they called on one of the best men they had and sent him over to the airport on the other side of the world. And when a young man got off the plane, that company that had this computerized machine that wasn't running looked at that young man, and they instantly went to the phone, and they says, we don't want this man. He's too young. He doesn't know enough. And the voice on the other end of the line said, I want to tell you something. That young man that's standing in the airport where you are right now is the very one who made the machine in the first place. If he can't fix it, nobody can. And tonight, the very one who has made us has spoken to us. The very one that we are responsible to and who knows all about us has drawn alongside with heaven's remedy and heaven's solution. Heaven's salvation and heaven's provision. And in grace, God has come in the person of His Son and has drawn alongside of us and has gone to the cross and paid for our sins. He paid for the entire debt. And as proof of that, He has left not only in the Galilean air, but on the page of Scripture, His own word, when He said, it's finished. Paid in full. Thank God I believe God that what He said was true. I've been able to rest for 28 years because the work is finished. God didn't ask me to do anything. I'm just so glad He told me about it. Just so glad the report came to along my way. I'm so glad that God gave me these wonderful words of life that I could understand my need and understand what God has said and what the Savior has done. And tonight, it's finished. And God says, He that heareth my word, my word, believeth Him that sent me, has everlasting life. He shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Tell me, what part is there in that verse that you have to do? Hear? Yes. You've heard tonight. And God is simply asking you to give Him credit for saying the truth. Can I just say this as I close? You might not believe me, but if you came up to me at the end of a meeting or at the end of our time together and you said, Marv, I don't believe what you said is true. You know what you're calling me? You're calling me a liar. And I have to admit that I have told lies in the past. But you're touching my character, aren't you? And if I had told the truth, that would hurt. But friend, in a far, far, far greater sense, the God of truth has spoken. He has spoken for your eternal blessing. In fact, the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And if we came to a gospel meeting and a gospel series and just said, now, my dear, patted you on the back and said, now, my dear, you're a good woman, you're a good man, just keep on going and everything will be all right. When everything would not be all right, would we be your friend or would we be your enemy? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. God has spoken in truthfulness for your eternal blessing. He tells you of the work of His Son, and He invites you to receive all that the Son has done for you on your behalf by faith, simply believing the record. Those that believe God will brought into the wondrous blessing of everlasting life. What does it lead to? It leads to an absolute confidence, both in time and for all eternity. Here's Paul, the apostle, in his death chamber. And he says, I have suffered all this for the sake of the gospel, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. All is well. Because I know whom I have believed. God is asking you to believe His Word tonight, and ultimately to believe Him. And because God is reliable, and because God is truth, and because God is gracious, you can rest your all for eternity on what this blessed book says concerning the finished work of Christ and the wondrous gift of everlasting life. Let me quote John 5:24 again. Verily, verily, the Lord Jesus could say, he that hears my word, believeth him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, will never be in hell, but is passed from death to life. Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for speaking to us unmistakably in thy Son and in wondrous truth through thy word. Tonight, Father, we are not left to wonder what our need is. And we're not left to wonder what the remedy is. This is a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And tonight we thank thee that there are those who have received the message and received the Savior. And we rejoice in the knowledge of our sins forgiven. Father, we pray thy blessing upon all who have gathered. We think of these final meetings of this series. And oh God, our heart is moved as we see men and women and young people here, and they're without hope. If they continue on in their sins, they will die in their sins, and they will weep and wail for all eternity. Lord, in mercy, speak to them, we pray. We thank thee for the power of the gospel. Thank thee, Lord, for thy heart, not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. And we pray that there might be those here tonight that, having heard the living Word of God, would receive thy Son as Savior and Lord. Bless them, we pray. Take us home in safety. Follow the Word home by the Spirit of God. Keep it from the enemy, we pray. And may we hear of thy power manifested in salvation tonight as we give thanks for the Lord Jesus in his ever peerless and worthy name. Amen. 144. My faith has found a resting place, not in my works nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I seek no other evidence. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. Verse 4, my heart is resting on His Word, the written Word of God, salvation in my Savior's name, salvation through His blood. We'll sing verses 1 and 2 of 144. Again, our thanks for your attendance tonight. We're deeply thankful for what God is doing, and we trust that tonight there might be a soul or souls that would simply believe what God says and receive what God has provided and accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. If we can be of any help to anyone, we're happy to sit down with you and explain as best we can with an open Bible what God is saying and what God is offering. Above all else, don't lose your soul and pass the Savior by. 1 and 2 of 144.